fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver, the Lone Ranger. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Hi-yo, Silver! Hooray!
Dan Reed, the teenage nephew of the Lone Ranger, was with the masked man and Tonto when they traveled south from San Antonio to follow the trail of an outlaw named Renard and the killers who accompanied him. Since daybreak, the trail had been increasingly hard to follow on the sun-baked ground. For several miles, there had been nothing but an occasional scratch of a hoof on a flat stone or a freshly broken weed to show that horsemen had recently gone that way. Finally, the Lone Ranger drew rein beside a small stream of clear water.
Oh, look out, the big little boy.
This is good drinking water.
Golly, I'm thirsty.
Yes, we're all thirsty, Dan, including the horses.
Travel plenty dusty. Plenty slow.
Too slow, Tonto. At the rate we're going, Renard and his pals will reach the border before we overtake them.
Me sorry.
It isn't your fault, Tonto. You've done well to follow the trail this far.
Maybe we find cracks ahead.
I have another idea.
Do either of you want to borrow my drinking cup?
Me not need cup. Me drink out of stream.
Did I hear you say you had an idea, sir?
Yes, Dan. Renard and his two pals left San Antonio in a hurry. They're traveling without packs and they're traveling fast. Before they cross the border, they'll need food. They'll have to rest their horses or get fresh ones. Between here and the border, there's only one town. It's called Alvarez.
You think the crooks will stop there?
Yes. Most fugitives who are heading for the border stop in Alvarez.
Has the law picked them up there?
Not unless the law knows they're wanted.
Oh, that's so.
Not many people know Renard as I do. He committed most of his crimes north of the Red River.
Golly, you've sure been after him for a long time.
I'll get him, Dan, no matter how far I have to follow him. He murdered a friend of mine, one of the finest lawmen who ever lived.
Oh, water, plenty good.
Otto, the trail so far is headed straight for Alvarez.
That may be where Renard and pals are going.
I think so. We're going there as fast as we possibly can.
Sheriff in Alvarez, always on watch for outlaws. Him see you with mask. Him jump past.
That's right. Well, Dan, you've studied pictures of Renard. Would you know him if you saw him?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sure I would.
Then, when we are near the town, we'll make camp. You go on alone and see if Renard is there.
Oh, oh,
Bernard was a small man of scholarly appearance. When he and his two companions reached the town of Alvarez, they saw a sign which said,
"All strangers in town are requested to report to the sheriff's office."
We're three strangers who are not going to follow that rule.
Quite the contrary, Bates. We shall proceed directly to the sheriff's office. I want to know where I stand.
You should know, boss. You saw the handbills in San Antonio.
That's a long way from here. The handbills may not have been sent this far south.
Well, if they have, the sheriff will grab you as soon as you step inside his office.
Link, you and Bates will be watching from the outside. If the sheriff makes a fast move, come in shooting. And we'll mount our horses and keep going to the border.
We can keep going to the border without seeing the sheriff.
Our horses need rest. We need food and supplies. If the sheriff doesn't know me as a wanted man, we'll be safe here in Alvarez for a few days. Now, come on.
Bates and Link stood waiting near the door as Reynard entered the office of the sheriff.
Howdy, mister.
How do you do, Sheriff? My name is Reynard.
Reynard, eh?
John Reynard. Does the name mean anything to you?
No. What's your business?
You might call me a writer.
Oh. Aiming to stay long in Alvarez?
A few days, perhaps.
Well, make yourself right at home, Mr. Reynard. I suppose you wonder why I want all strangers to report to me. You see, Alvarez being so close to the border, we get a lot of outlaws. Men with rewards on their heads who are heading for Mexico.
In that case, I don't blame you for wanting to know who comes to town. I'm sorry I can't show you credentials.
Oh, that's all right. Are those men outside the door with you?
Yes, I hired them as guides and sort of bodyguards.
I see. I suppose you came here to write about Old-Timer.
Old-Timer?
We call him Old-Timer. His name is George Stark. Haven't you heard of him?
No.
You sure should write about him. There's a man who's done a lot for this town. He's built the Jim Boy Church, the Jim Boy School. He's soon going to start building the Jim Boy Meeting Hall.
I don't understand.
Ever so often, Stark comes into town from his house in Ghost Canyon and gives the money for a new public building to be named for Jim Boy.
Ghost Canyon?
Yep, he lives there. Story is that the canyon is haunted.
Surely you don't believe in such things as ghosts and spirits?
All I know, Mr. Reynard, is that a number of men who have gone to the canyon to find out where Old-Timer gets his money. None have ever come back.
Where does this Old-Timer get his money?
He never tells, Mr. Reynard. Maybe you can persuade him to tell you, being as you're a writer.
I'd like to talk to him. Why do you call it the Jim Bowie Church, the Jim Bowie School?
Old-Timer insists on it. You've heard of Jim Bowie, of course.
Yes, he was one of the men who fought the Battle of the Alamo in San Antonio.
That's right. When Stark was a young man, he must have known Jim Bowie. He sure is making his name remembered. Whenever he has the chance, he tells the story of Bowie and the fight at the Alamo.
Hey, Mr. Reynard.
What is it, Bates?
There's a crowd gathering down the street.
Old-Timer must have come to town to see about starting the meeting hall. You go join that crowd, Reynard, and you'll hear the story of Jim Boyd.
Dan Reed had reached the town and was among those who gathered to hear the Old-Timer, who stood in the center of a vacant area across the street from the Jim Bowie School.
Jim Bowie was one of the greatest heroes the state of Texas ever knew. He'd have been a rich man if he hadn't thrown aside the chance to claim a gold mine and fought and died for his country. You see, he was prospecting this part of the country, Ghost Canyon to be exact, when he found an old Indian cave. In that cave, he found gold. Then the Indians came and drove him away. He had to run for his life. Well, Bowie decided to get men enough to drive out the Indians. That was 30 years ago, the year of 1836, during the Texas struggle for independence. This part of the state wasn't settled, so Bowie had to go to San Antonio for men. He spent weeks finding them. When he had just the right kind of fearless fighting men he wanted, he called them together in the place where he was living. That was on February 22nd, George Washington's birthday. Bowie wanted to give his men final instructions.
Boys, I know I can count on every one of you to fight to the finish. It'll be hard fighting. Some of us may die. But for the rest, there'll be a fair share in the gold claim I found.
We're with you to the finish, boy. On with, boys.
Just then, the door opened and a soldier rushed in all excited.
Boy! Boy!
Dave, what's all the excitement? What are you doing here?
Colonel Travis sent me. He needs help.
Colonel Travis needs help for what?
He had word from scouts. The Mexican army is on the way. It's led by Santa Anna himself.
Santa Anna?
He's bringing several thousand men.
Several thousand? How many men does Colonel Travis have?
About 100.
Oh, it's hopeless, Dave. Even with all of us, he wouldn't have more than 150 men. He won't have a chance.
He knows that, boy. But he's got to hold Santa Anna until our army can get ready to make a real fight.
How long does Colonel Travis think he can hold against such odds as that?
I don't know. He's going to make a stand in that San Franciscan mission and delay Santa Anna's march as long as possible. He said to tell you that the future of Texas hangs in the balance.
You hear that, boys?
Yep.
Looks like instead of fighting Indians for gold, we're to fight Santa Anna for Texas. Who's going with me? You heard that, soldier. Go tell Colonel Travis we'll join him at the Alamo.
Well, Jim Bowie and his men joined Colonel Travis at the Alamo. All told, there were just 180 men. But they were fighting men of Texas. They worked fast, bringing food, supplies, and ammunition from the town. And on February 23rd, when the great Mexican general and his army came into view, Colonel Travis called his men together.
In, we'd be attacked by Santa Anna. According to our scouts, he has at least 2,000 men. And he may have twice that number. There are 180 of us. Shall we surrender or fight?
Fight!
Fight it is. Let us show the enemy that men of Texas are not afraid to fight and die for their country. And their God. Take your stations and make ready.
Dave, there isn't a chance for any of us to survive.
I know it, boy. So do all the others.
Every man was armed to the teeth and ready to fight until he dropped. Well, they didn't have to wait very long. Santa Anna's army charged. The fire from the Alamo was deadly. Santa Anna's men went down like flies. That big Mexican army was driven back.
They're retreating!
Yes, sirree! The enemy retreated, reformed his lines, then charged again. Again, he was driven back. Time after time, the men in the Alamo threw back that army. February 24th came and went, and the Alamo still held. It held the next day and the next. The Texans knew that the longer they could hold, the more chance there'd be for the real American army to make ready. Many of the men were wounded, but they kept right on fighting. They were short on food, they had no sleep, and still they met and turned back every charge. For 10 days they held off Santa Anna's great army. And then, on March 6th, all but 6 men had given their lives to buy time. Colonel Travis, Dave Crockett, 3 other men... and Jim Bowie were the last to die. But, gents, the stand they made at the Alamo gave the army a chance to prepare for the showdown fight. The soldiers were ready and waiting for Santa Anna when he reached San Jacinto. It was the fight at the Alamo that saved Texas. That's why I'm building a meeting hall and naming it for Jim Bowie.
Hey there, old-timer. Did you say Bowie's gold mine was in Ghost Canyon?
What?
Dan Reed, who had been thrilled by the old-timer's story, turned toward the man who asked the question.
Yep, that's according to the story, stranger. No one else ever found that gold mine.
Reynard.
Yeah?
He is here in town.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
Thank you.
Now to continue. Renard and his two pals drew away from the crowd that had gathered to listen to the old-timer and went to the hotel where they took rooms. They met in Renard's room.
Boys, I guess we all have the same idea as to where that old man gets all the money for those buildings.
He's found Bowie's gold mine. That's how I figured it.
I think there's little doubt of it. That's why he names everything for Jim Bowie.
How do you suppose he knew about the mine?
I don't know. Maybe Bowie told him. Maybe he was one of the men Bowie lined up in San Antone.
Yeah, but all those men went to fight in the Alamo.
We don't know that they did. In any case, that old galoot has a gold mine in Ghost Canyon.
Yeah, I've heard that the place is haunted.
Yes, that's what the sheriff told me.
I heard that a number of men had gone to the canyon to look around. None has ever returned.
That's what I heard.
What do you make of that, boss?
You fools, can't you see through that story?
What do you mean, boss?
That story's being told just to keep people out of Ghost Canyon. Old-timer doesn't want anyone to go there and find that gold mine.
Yeah, I wonder if that's right.
No one with any sense would believe a story about haunted canyons and ghosts. A lot of nonsense.
Well, then you think it'd be safe for us to go there?
I'm going there. You two are free to do as you wish.
You go, boss, and I'm going with you. I aim to get some of that gold. Well,
the trouble is, we can't stay this side of the border. Sooner or later, those handbills will come here.
We'll call on that old man and make him tell us where the gold mine is. We'll get rid of him and take as much of the gold as we can carry and cross the border. We can come back for more when we need it.
That sounds good to me.
When are we going?
We'll stock up on things we need and be ready to follow the old-timer back to his home when he leaves town.
After recognizing John Renard, Dan Reed left town and rode several miles to a woodland clearing where the Lone Ranger and Tonto were waiting in camp.
Oh, Victor, ho, ho. That is all easy, boy. Dan,
you ride plenty fast.
Yes. I wanted to tell you as soon as possible. I saw Renard.
In town?
Yes, sir.
You sure him, Renard?
Yes, Tonto. He looked exactly like his picture on that handbill you've been carrying.
Come on, Tonto. We'll saddle the horses. Now tell me, what was Renard doing?
He was in a crowd of people, sir, listening to a man who's called Old Timer.
Ben Silver, easy.
Old Timer's real name is George Sock.
I've heard of him. He lives in Ghost Canyon. He dedicated a number of public buildings to Jim Bowie.
He's starting a new one, sir, a meeting hall. No. He was telling about Jim Bowie and the fight at the Alamo.
Did you see any of the Renard handbills and Alvarez?
No, sir, not a single one.
Did he now, easy? Never mind the camp gear, Tonto. Leave it here. Dan, you stay and guard it. We'll not be gone long.
Oh, but I wanted
You've done your part, Dan. Now it's up to us to catch Renard before he leaves town. You ready, Tonto?
Be ready.
You just had to be close. Come on, fill it!
Renard and his companions followed at a distance when the old-timer left town to return to his home. By the time the three crooks reached the canyon, darkness had gathered. Wind sweeping through peculiar rock formations had an eerie sound in keeping with the name Ghost Canyon.
That must be the old man's house straight ahead, where the light just showed in the window.
That's it. Stop right here, boys.
Oh, 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 oh.
Hey, that wind makes a creepy sound.
Ah, shut up, Lincoln. Listen to me. We're going to plan this so we don't walk into a trap.
What kind of a trap?
I don't know. The old man lives there alone. He might be prepared for gents like us. Now, here's how we'll work it. Bates, you and I are going to the house. Link will hold back. Wait right near the window, Link, so you can see what goes on.
I said it.
You better leave the horses right here so Stark won't hear the hoofs. Get up. Ready, Bates?
I'm ready. Hey, what's that?
Just a mountain lion. Stop being scared.
I can't help feeling spooked. I'll sure be glad when we're out of this place.
Think of the gold we'll take out with us. Come on, Bates. You follow at a distance, Link.
Right.
Renard and Bates reached a side window of the cabin and looked into the lighted living room. They saw the old man lighting a fire in the fireplace.
This should be easy.
You're going to rap on the door and bust right in.
I'll try the door. If it's not locked, we'll rush in with guns drawn. Come on.
The two moved softly to the door and paused only long enough to draw their guns.
See if the door's unlocked.
It is.
Get him up!
Put your hands up, Stark.
What's this, gents?
Don't move.
All right, gents. You don't need to hold guns on me. I'm not armed.
You want a meal or something? You're right welcome. Put up the guns and sit down.
We're here on business. The sooner it's over, the better we'll like it.
I'm a poor hand at talking business.
You found the Bowie gold.
I did?
Don't try to deny it.
Gents, I'm not denying a doggone thing.
Search him, Bates. Make sure he isn't carrying a sneak gun.
Right.
I'm not carrying a gun of any sort.
He's telling the truth.
Lower your hands. We heard you telling about Bowie's gold. Where is it?
Gents, I wish I could tell you.
Don't stall.
You know, mister, you'll make a big mistake if you force me to hand over the map.
Oh, so there is a map.
Where is it?
I shouldn't have mentioned the map.
Well, you did mention it. Now get it.
What'll I gain by getting it? You'll shoot me as soon as you've got it?
Now, that's where you're wrong. We don't want to shoot you. We just want enough gold to stake us for a time in Mexico. You give us the map, then we'll take you with us while we load as much gold as we can carry. We'll let you go when we reach the border.
Oh, heading for the border. It means you're dodging the law.
That's right. That's why we've no reason to kill you. We couldn't stay and work the claim, even if we wanted to.
You'll really let me go?
You have my word on it.
How do I know you'll keep your word?
You'll have to trust me. But if you don't hand over that map in about 2 seconds, I'll shoot.
Well, I reckon I have no choice. I'll have to show you my secret hiding place. It's right here. See, I moved this picture to the side. Behind it, there's a hole in the wall.
So that's your secret hiding place.
I'll reach inside.
Keep a close watch, Bates, and shoot him if he brings out a gun.
Right.
The old man grinned inwardly as he reached through the hole in the wall. He gripped a cord that ran through pulleys to the latch of the door between the two rooms. The door was fastened to a strong spring so that when the latch was lifted, the door would open fast. Stark knew that his big, well-trained dog was tense and waiting for the word. He pulled the cord. As the door swung open, he grabbed a loaded gun from a shelf and shouted,
"Take him, Jim!"
Bates and Renard turned toward the dog. In that instant, Stark brought his gun through the hole and fired. Renard's arm was smashed by a bullet. Bates was gripped by the big dog.
Drop the gun, you thieving fool!
All right!
Now does it, Jim. Take it easy. Down, boy.
That dog!
Now I'm holding a gun. You sidewinders never figured I was prepared for crooks who tried to rob me. You're not the first polecats to come here because you heard me tell about Jim Bowie's gold.
Stand still!
What?
Who?
Link, you waited long enough to show yourself.
Look out for the dog. That dog makes a leap for this window. I'll shoot him between the eyes.
Steady, steady there, Jim. Steady, fella.
Drop the gun.
Not a chance. You may have the drop on me, but I've got the drop on your two pals. You shoot, you might get me. But I'll have time to fire at least once, maybe twice. And I won't aim for an arm or a hand. I'll aim to kill your pals.
For a moment, it appeared to be a stalemate. Then, without warning, Link's gun spat flame. The bullet smashed Stark's gun and sent it spinning. Bates leaped at Stark while the dog leaped at the window. Link fired again. The bullet brushed the top of the big dog's head. The animal fell senseless to the floor.
I got you, old man, boss.
My arm is smashed. I can't help you.
I'll come around the door and help you.
I'm not licked yet. Big odds never stop Jim Bowie, and they won't stop me.
Hold him down, Bates. Here comes Link.
Hold the old coat.
Don't kill him. He's got to tell us where to find the gold.
Hit him with your gun barrel.
Come on, Tonto.
A masked man.
Rushing through the open door with Tonto at his heels, the Lone Ranger fired from his hip.
Oh.
The gun that Link had raised to use as a club was blasted from his hand.
Take that man, Tonto.
No! Get him. Look out!
The fight was quickly ended. The Lone Ranger's sledgehammer blow had knocked Bates sprawling into a corner, while Tonto landed a fist flush on Link's chin.
Keep an eye on him, Tonto. I'll see if Stark is badly hurt.
No, I'm not hurt. But the polecat shot my dog.
Sheriff, there's been a big mistake. You know me. My name is Renard, the writer.
Your name's Renard and you're a crook. The masked man brought me a handbill.
There, boy. You're going to be all right.
Wait, Jim is not dead. He's alive.
The bullet stunned him, that's all.
Now listen, Sheriff. Let me explain.
Come over here, Renard. I'll handcuff you to your pals before they regain consciousness. Come on.
Sheriff, it's a case of mistaken identity.
You'll have a chance to talk when you come to trial, Renard. How bad is your arm?
I don't know.
I just creased it with a bullet, Sheriff. I'll dress the wound before we take the crooks to town. I'm sure glad you came with that masked man and Indian.
They came to my office with a handbill on Renard. I learned these three crooks had been seen leaving town, so we trailed them.
They're the first ones who outsmarted me, Sheriff. Jim, you're up and around.
We cleaned the wound, Stark. dog's all right.
Mister, I'm downright grateful to you. If there's any way I can show my appreciation...
Well, Stark, I'd like to ask one question. Did you find Jim Boy's gold?
Go ahead, Stark. It's all right to tell this man the truth.
All right, then. You see, mister, a lot of crooks stop in Alvarez on the way to the border. They hear about Jim Bowie's gold, about me living here in the canyon, building public places in town. So they figure I have found the gold. They come here to get it, and I trap them.
Then there is no gold mine?
There might be, but it's never been found. Those buildings you saw in town, the Jim Bowie School and the Jim Bowie Church and the others, they were paid for with rewards the sheriff and I collected for the crooks who thought they'd steal a gold mine.
Good work, Stark. Keep it up.
I reckon you've earned the reward for Renard and his pals.
No, no thanks, Stark. You and the sheriff will see that the reward is used for a worthy cause. Come on, Toto. We'll tell Dan Reed what happened.
Thanks again, mister.
It was a privilege, Sheriff, to help you and a friend of Jim Boy.
Well, Sheriff, can you beat it? He didn't want the reward. Imagine a man turning down hard cash.
Well, it's nothing new in the life of that man, Stark. You see, he's the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, and directed by Charles D. Livingston. Tonight's drama was written by Fran Stryker. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.